Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Muhi Khwaja with American Muslim Community Foundation, and we are on the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast today. Our special guest is Sadaf Saeed, the Executive Director of the Muslim Women's Organization. Welcome, Sadaf.
Assalamu alaikum, Muhi. I am excited to be here.
Likewise. Now I'll drink my coffee, so no worries. I wanted to share a little bit more background. Like, we've known each other through the Center on Muslim Philanthropy and classes that they offer, and we're classmates in the Indiana University's Graduate Certificate for Philanthropic Studies. At least that's the program I'm in. Are you in the master's program officially or in the certificate program?
I'm in the certificate part of the Muslim Fellowship, the Zakat Foundation.
Awesome. And it's so enlightening to just see the discussions, the research, the papers, and how enriching Muslim philanthropy is, and just getting that global perspective and our work in the U.S. and implementing different historical, religious, and social aspects of philanthropy. So I know I've really enjoyed the discussions and the courses so far.
Yeah, it's like I'm learning the how and the why and everything about what I'm doing. It's like this whole backstory that I never knew existed, and it's amazing.
Yeah, well, we can get into that a little bit later as well. For our listeners, would love to have you share a little bit more on your background. You know, you can include where you grew up and where you went to school and all of that, and then we can jump into like the career as well.
Yeah, sure. I am a daughter of immigrants, like a lot of the people that I know, honestly, because I grew up in this bubble. My parents came from Pakistan with that wave. My dad got here in 1970, and he settled in South Florida, in Miami, in the city of Hialeah, actually. And I've been in Florida my whole life ever since then. That's just where I've lived. I've bounced between South Florida and Central Florida, you know, Orlando and Miami. I grew up just very involved with the founding of the masjid and Sunday school and all of those things that my parents were doing. That was just our life. That was all we knew. We practically lived at that masjid. And I got involved in the youth group when MENA was founded in the 80s. We were involved in MENA. And then I went to college, the University of Miami. And more than being interested in my major, which was psychobiology, I was interested in MSA and being involved. And when we showed up on campus, there was an existing Muslim students organization, which was a lot of men from the Gulf region, and they were not very keen on women getting involved. It was just not done. So I showed up and I sat down in, you know, to go to Jummah, super excited, and there was no space for women. And an auntie and I were just like, well, let's make space. So we sat down, and to their chagrin. And we had to fight every step of the way while we were there. And we ended up founding a new Muslim organization on campus called the Islamic Society at the University of Miami, which was a little bit more for all the outcasts that were not involved in Muslim Students Organization. And we did a lot through that organization. And I feel like that was the beginning of what I'm doing now. It laid that foundation and the framework for how I lead now. It was that same idea of making space for women and platforms for women to lead. And when I graduated, I got married right after I graduated, and it was one kid after another after that. I had five kids, and I really wanted that. I wanted to be like my mom. I wanted to have kids and involve them in community service and make them part of this stuff. And that's what I did for 25 years. Around 10 years ago, we started this Muslim women organization, but that's where my career shows up. But until then, you know, really it was, how do I, as a Muslim woman with kids and family, get involved in stuff? And we kind of just tried to figure that out and navigate that.
That's really exciting. And, you know, I know I'm thankful for your leadership and kind of paving that way and providing that voice for other people. So I'm glad you took that responsibility and saw that opportunity to kind of make things more inclusive. So kudos to you for pushing that.
Yeah, it was, you know, and it was always a group effort. There were so many of us women, young women that are leaving our youth groups, getting into college, and so interested in getting involved. So it was always a group of us. And also some guys, you know, that really wanted that space for themselves and didn't see themselves in the existing organization there. So it was honestly always a group effort.
That's good. So let's talk about kind of that founding of MWO. In terms of like MWO and how you started it with a group of people and just kind of starting the 501c3 and focusing on like what you wanted to have as your priorities and program areas. I know it was over a decade ago, but kind of like share those moments with people so they get an understanding of, you know, what it takes to start an effort like this.
Yeah, so it was, you know, again, a lot of these same women that were involved with MSA now found themselves married with kids, trying to find a space, a platform, somewhere to get involved. And the Masajid didn't necessarily provide that. So we had a halaqa that we were a part of, and there were women, you know, I think, you know, Asma Chaudhry, and also Tayyib's sister Farhana. Farhana ran a halaqa, and Asma, you know, came up with this idea and said, hey, Farhana, maybe we should do something. And there were so many women that were part of Farhana's halaqa. And so when that idea came up, everybody just jumped on board, and we ended up just having like a meeting at one person's house and inviting everybody. And we were actually reminiscing just this weekend. We had our 10th anniversary reunion, and we had board members that were there that day, were there when it was founded, just reminiscing about how that went and the excitement, you know. And it was formed kind of around one of our friends had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and we wanted to all do something. You kind of feel helpless in moments. And our very first thing was just walking together at a breast cancer walk. But it was, it was a bunch of women that really wanted to do something more than just go to parties and, you know, halakas. We wanted to really make a difference, and we had the skill set and the power and the passion to do it. So we got together, and I did a bit of research because I had been involved in MSAs and all these other things. So we had that organizational background. And I did a lot of just research, and we talked to different other organizations. We modeled it after the Muslim Women's Alliance up in Chicago, because one of the members of one of our members had been in Chicago. I said, hey, there's this organization that does that, and these are the kinds of things they do. So it was just a lot of looking at what's out there and getting some existing resources instead of starting from scratch and just making it our own. That's what we did.
Totally. And, you know, I think once you kind of have that vision and you find like a galvanizing moment and you find those people who are well connected, that's often like what's needed in the recipe, right? And sometimes they happen in different orders, but hopefully through that process, you get something tangible. And it's great to see that, you know, that you guys have sustained through all these years. So tell us a little bit more about like what some of those programs have been at MWO and what's kind of helped sustain you guys over this long period of time.
Yeah, so we started off honestly coordinating. It was a variety of things just that first year. Like one of the very first things we did was the walk. But then after the walk, we thought of, it was just a bunch of women getting together thinking, what is missing? What can we do? And trying to meet different needs. So some of that was community service projects. So we did a lot of Ramadan, you know, feeding projects, and we started a Thanksgiving drive where we provided turkeys and stuff we partnered with local schools and did that. And all of this was just right off the bat, our very first year, within a year, we started all of these programs. And then we had like a kids Ramadan camp, and we had a huge Eid picnic. You know, it was like we showed up and we suddenly started to do so much of kind of everything, because all of these women had so many ideas, and you know, just this passion. And we just said, okay, let's see, what can we do in the areas of service, sisterhood, you know, bringing women together, and also training, like what are the different things we can do in education. So we focused on these areas. But as we grew and developed as an organization, women started to come to us with different problems, you know. And I think that happens where you don't know where to go, and suddenly there's a women's organization. Yeah. Let me reach out and ask them, can you help me? I'm being abused. Or can you help me? Yeah. I don't know where to go, and I don't have a job. And things like that started coming up. So we really had to be, it's very easy to have like mission drift and just do everything anybody comes to you with. So we had to really sit down and say, okay, what is our organization about? What are we here to do? And what are we not here to do? What are other people doing? And we were very clear from the beginning that we're not a direct service provider. We are not a homeless shelter. We're not, you know, domestic violence shelter. We're not a social services agency. There are those already out there. What's missing? And last 2 years ago is when we really started to intentionally transition to meet these needs from a different angle, right? Not deal with the symptoms, but deal with the root causes of a lot of these problems. How do we care for women, preventing these things from happening, and how do we bring national resources down here? And using those same three cornerstones, right? Still working with training women, training the community, educating and increasing awareness, and then building sisterhood. But we're doing these now very intentionally to keep women safe and make sure that they are thriving. So it's a different perspective. The work has changed, but in the end, it's always women led and caring for women.
That's great. And then obviously with like political election years that, you know, are there, there's opportunities to get people to register to vote, promoting the vote, all those things. Like, talk about some of the civic engagement beyond like the service driven aspects that you guys have implemented as well. And I think, you know, there's one thing between like mission drift, and it's great that you guys set those boundaries, but there's also something to say about like the agility of an organization to work through that. Because, you know, when it comes to things that could be good for fundraising, right, you have to pick and choose and say like, I'm gonna stay in this lane and we're gonna stick to these things, although there may be a lot of opportunity for funding from individuals or grants in those areas. There are other people who've been doing that, who are doing it better. Let's collaborate with those organizations and share resources, right? We can, we may not be the service provider, but we know the organizations that are, so that we can connect the dots when needed. And I think that's something that's really good, because you see some organizations just all over the map. And sometimes it makes me pause and think, like, what was the thought process behind that? Like, this is a organization that's focused on media or relief or humanitarian things, and then they're focusing on like scholarships or like other stuff that necessarily isn't directly related to their mission and vision.
I just want to speak to that. Like, one thing that happens a lot, like every time something happens around the world where Muslims are suffering, it's natural for our community, especially women, they have big hearts, you know, I want to do something to help. And yeah, they would always contact us. Hey, are we doing anything for Haiti? Are we doing anything for what's going on in Syria? Or what, you know, that's always something on their mind. And we have to keep reminding our community that, yes, that's important, but let's partner with Islamic Relief. They're already doing that. Let's raise some money for them. You know, we don't need to collect all of your clothes and send them. Helping Hands is already doing that. I will connect you to Helping Hands and you can drop your stuff off there. So we always try to not step on those toes. of people that are doing all of that work, because there's amazing work when it comes to international relief that's being done. And we are very cognizant of that. As far as advocacy and civic engagement, I think one thing that we really try to keep in mind is our values. What are our values, right? And what aligns with that? So what are things that we do need to be part of? So say in Central Florida, especially after the Pulse nightclub shooting, there were so many opportunities for organizations to come together and advocate for specific things. So we made a lot of relationships with the LGBT community, with there were, you know, Farm Workers Association, Jobs with Justice. There's a lot of organizations here that we were engaging with after that nightclub shooting, because we were coming together as a community. And we kept those relationships strong with these organizations. So when it came time to fight for, say, a sanctuary city, things that affect Muslim women locally, we stood together with our community in those solidarity kind of efforts, because those are our problems as well, right? We're not necessarily leading those, but we are in coalitions that are advocating for specific things. And the same thing with when it comes, you know, came time for the election, we have women on our in our organization that are dedicated to social justice advocacy, because our thing is providing platforms for Muslim women to lead. You know, and if this is a gap in our community, and how do these issues affect Muslim women? We really try to make that connection. Like, this is why you need to go out and vote, because as Muslim women, these issues are affecting you. What happens in our government, you know, the healthcare that you have for your families is affected by it. You know, your body autonomy is affected by your, you know, the people you're putting into power. So we try to make those connections and encourage women to vote and mobilize them and saying, listen, this is your problem as well. At the same time, we do realize that's not our main and only thing. It's always just supplementing everything else that we're doing.
Yeah, and I think you guys have found that fine balance and do a really good job of it, at least from what I've seen on your social media. And you know, I think it's really important to be in those collaborative networks, whether it's interfaith or social justice oriented, and hopefully providing a face for the Muslim women in Orlando and around Florida, so that people can have a better understanding and perception of Muslim women. And I think you guys are helping break some of those barriers as well through this work.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things we've been founded on is the sisterhood, right? And not just sisterhood within Muslim women, but also like it's interfaith and intrafaith. So we try to build from the very beginning, create opportunities for women of different backgrounds to connect and support one another, be there for each other, build friendships and, you know, support one another. And I think that's an extension of the same idea, you know, of just the sisterhood in our society, in our community, that we're here for each other.
Great. So I want to talk about some of the professional development work that we've done through Center on Muslim Philanthropy and Indiana University. You know, what made you, or how did you find out about those opportunities first? And then what made you want to jump into it and, you know, soak it all up and implement it, all of that?
So I think the very first one, somebody emailed it to me, because we have, you know, Farhana's brother, like we have connections to Tayyib and Jerry and different people. And through them, we heard about the first training that you all had, not the first, but the one that we first went to was down in Tampa a couple years back. And we heard about that and we just showed up because we understood that this is not our strong suit. We are not fundraising professionals. We are not even nonprofit management professionals, you know, like literally I started this work being a mom of five, a stay at home mom, right? Like that's what I was.
There's
I
a lot of management there. Like
it was. And that's the thing. Women have the skill set, right? But they don't necessarily have the formal training.
Sure.
And they don't understand the whole the way that the business works of it, right? And if you don't, then you are really limiting how much you can do. And we just these whole concepts of, you know, stewardship and a gift range chart and all of these things were so new to us. So we actually went to this understanding that we need to learn how to fundraise. This is our responsibility. We need to sustain our work. And so the board president, Sophia, and I, we just showed up to that training and we were blown away. We were just like, this is what we've been like. We could not stop talking about it at our board meetings. Like, guys, we need to come up with a gift range chart and we need to do this and that. And it really changed the way that we looked at it and really built some excitement around fundraising that we had never had. It was always approaching fundraising with some apprehension, like, I don't know. I don't want to ask. It's weird. And I think going to these programs really helped us understand the need, the importance, and the how-to of fundraising and sustaining our work. And it was just like our gateway into all of this. Yeah.
I think, you know, when you change the lens from like a scarcity model to like a model of abundance, right? And you look at the opportunity to share mission and impact with people rather than saying, you know, we need money or we need, you know, to fulfill our operations, but really go with the story behind the vision and how it makes an impact. You can really shift the culture and understanding of fundraising within an organization. And I love those classes that Center on Muslim Philanthropy offers through Indiana University. And I'm so excited that they now have hundreds of people who are have their certificate in fundraising management because they've learned the principles and techniques of fundraising and developing annual sustainability and developing major gifts and so many of the other courses that they offer. And it's great that from a board perspective, you have that support. And, you know, taking staff members and board members and getting them to those trainings is hypercritical because, you know, if the staff are the only ones with that perspective, not that they would be met with resistance, but when you have that board support, it's just holistic there. And you just get like a green light of saying like, yeah, these are the best practices, implement it. And, you know, there's the donor gift life cycle and everything like that, that you just want to have those touch points with your donors and building them in the pipeline and retaining the donors and everything like that. So I think it's hypercritical for organizations to model that. And I'm so glad that MWO has had that experience. And now you're in the graduate certificate program and, you know, so many other things that I think will help boost the understanding and ability for your organization to connect with your donors in a more meaningful way.
Yeah. And I think with us, we found it at exactly the right time. So we went to that class right when I started as an executive director, like the first paid employee of this organization. Nice. And we were starting to figure out, what's the difference between staff and executive director and all of our volunteers and the work they're doing and what the board is supposed to be doing? So we showed up at this class at exactly that moment that we needed to understand what the different responsibilities were and the role that the board, like you said, plays in being, you know, our ambassadors and our fundraisers, that it's a really big deal because we never had that understanding. For us, an organization is just a group of women that are coordinating programs. Right. And this was the moment where we were kind of having this, you know, I'm part of the Joan Gary's nonprofit leadership lab, and she talks a lot about the twin engine jet, you know, where you have the board and the board chair and the executive director who mm-hmm. are managing different aspects of a nonprofit that are both equally important. And a lot of times we get so into the programming, we forget about the development. So that experience and that opportunity came at the perfect time.
And even with that metaphor of planes, like, you know, theoretically the plane can still run on one engine. but it's going to have to make an emergency landing, right?
Yeah, it'll be lopsided.
So you need both engines working in sync with one another to get to your destination.
Exactly.
And this brings me to kind of the next point I wanted to discuss. You know, Women's History Month, a lot of great initiatives taking place, and AMCF wants to do what we can to highlight more women-led and women-focused institutions within the Muslim community. And we're hoping to launch our American Muslim Women's Giving Circle nationally. So it's an opportunity for women to contribute together, learn about causes together, and vote on those causes, and then distribute those funds to organizations that the collective vote on. So it's about democratizing philanthropy. It's about demystifying and decolonizing philanthropy, and just making everybody understand that when they contribute, their gift has power and the collective has even more power. So it's something that I encourage all women across the country to consider joining, and would love to share more about that and share some of the leaders within that group and connect you to them. So just wanted to make a plug for our giving circle that's launching. And I think there's such value, you know, across the country, and we want to be amplifying organizations like Muslim Women's Organization so that other women across the country can learn about them, try to replicate it in their neighborhoods, implement it, and also hopefully get more funding to initiatives like that.
You know, and that's what we think about that a lot, because we have women reaching out to us sometimes from Pennsylvania and from Houston and all these places saying, we want to do what you're doing. So it is on our mind, how do we make this a model that can be replicated? Because it is a need. You know, there's so many great national organizations like HEART and Malika, and, you know, you have even Muslim ARC is doing so much work in FACE. You have organizations that are really helping women. And led by women, right? But they're national organizations. How do you bring that work to change a local community? Yeah. And you have so much power within the women of each community that if we can connect them with those national organizations and train them on how to implement that and how to make a difference in their local community, you multiply the efforts, right? You multiply that impact. So that is, you know, inshallah, our goal. And I love that idea of the giving circles. And it's not anything new, right? Like, there's the kiddie party has been happening forever. Right. My halas used to do it, right? That you put in some money and once a month somebody gets it. So I think that is a beautiful idea. And it's something that women will jump on board. And especially now when women, especially in every community, I see it in our community, they are professionals, they have wealth, and they have a vision for that wealth. So I think it's a really beautiful idea.
For sure. So I wanted to ask you about your favorite nonprofit organizations and ones that you give your zakat or sadaqah to.
I'm a big believer in local, you know, keeping our zakat local. And, you know, we learned about that last semester in our Muslim philanthropy class. And I'm a big advocate of that, and our organization really does encourage people to give their zakat because we help local women, right? But the organizations that I love and I support and we partner with often are the ones that I mentioned, you know, especially HEART and all of the things that HEART is doing. It's so needed within our communities. I see it, all these problems happening again and again. You see the, you know, sexual violence and abuse happening, and you want to know, how do we tackle these issues and how do we deal with the stigma? So I love HEART and FACE, but HEART would be the one that I would really plug right now. And they have like a whole caring communities model that they're working with Bayan on. So that is my favorite organization.
Awesome. And we hope to have each of them on our podcast so that people can learn more about them. And they're listed in our nonprofit directory, which is available online. You know, people can find out more about Muslim Women's Organization on Instagram, the MWO. And your website is mwo-orlando.org. Sadaf, is there anything else that you'd like to share?
I just wanted to thank you, Muhi, and just for everything that the AMCF is doing, and also for your work with the Center for Muslim Philanthropy, IUPUI. I think it's so valuable right now, just to the people that are already doing the work, to give them the tools that they need to really be more successful and impactful. I think that's so essential. So thank you. I just want to thank you.
Of course, that's very kind of you, and we're happy to do it. And, you know, AMCF is in the nonprofit ecosystem, in the donor ecosystem, in the philanthropy ecosystem, and those are kind of like the jets of the plane. You know, they all got to work together, and we want to make sure that we are able to boost these causes when we can and try to get funding to them, more publicity for them. And we're happy and honored to do it. And you guys are doing such fantastic work. It makes it easy to want to partner and collaborate.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.